This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking with Owen Spence and Landon Davis. They have been working on bringing the original music for Destiny, written by Marty O'Donnell and Mike Salvatore, out into the world, and it is so cool to have a chance to talk with both of you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Yeah, it's just so great, and I think what's so interesting is that there's just still so much interest in the music that Marty wrote as a prequel to Destiny. In fact, when I talked with him originally, it was intended to be released long before the game, and that never happened because Marty was let go from Bungie before Destiny even was released. And so Music of the Spheres was sort of hanging out there, and it was just like a myth and legend kind of. And maybe, Owen, you could start with telling me what it was about that original music for Destiny that, like, really just reached out and grabbed you.
I guess I could say I always sort of owed Marty a favor for my childhood playing Halo, if that makes any sense. So when I heard that about all this stuff going down, like, after The Taken King, which was Destiny's fall expansion, like, the first major expansion called A Comet for Destiny came out, like, a few days before that expansion came out, Bungie and Marty's court case was finally settled, and they released the court papers to the public. So I read through that, and there was some interesting stuff in there, obviously some kind of sad things about how it all went down. But what was interesting was it said that 40 minutes of the 48-minute work was sort of in public view, public domain. So I sort of set out on a mission to see if I could compile all of that, because Bungie had only really released like 10 minutes of the soundtrack for Music of the Spheres officially, which is like a fourth of what was apparently out there. So I just went on this mission to compile all of the missing parts.
Yeah, it must have been kind of like a treasure hunt. And I'd love to know how you did all the detective work that you had to do to put it all together. And Landon, I'm curious about how soon into the process, or how recently into the process, you've been part of this whole project.
So around this stage, with what Owen's talking about, when him and Telosin were still trying to piece together the music, I was kind of off doing my own thing. We were both had the same goal, but we were going about it by different means. And, you know, they spent a lot of time and effort trying to recreate what was there. And my goal at the time, me and Owen, we didn't really know of each other's existence. I was trying to track down a copy of it from someone who had it.
Wow. That must have been kind of like a needle in a haystack thing, I guess, because as far as most of us knew, there were no copies.
They had only made about 100, and we didn't know until later that most of them had been recalled. So the chances of finding them were really astronomical. I didn't actually succeed until much later. After me and Owen had met.
Well, then, you know, fast forward on Christmas Day, the actual authenticated real version, real legit version, was released with Marty's blessing, which was cool. So can you talk at all, either one of you, about how that all happened?
So that's actually the night that me and Owen met. We had met on Christmas Eve the day before. We had been talking on r/Destiny the game. We'd been talking about Music of the Spheres. We both agreed that it was like a tragedy that the music had not been released and whatnot. And I got a message from Owen saying, you know, that he had it, that they had succeeded in their goal. And basically, I was worried that, you know, Bungie would step in with legal action and kind of stop the whole thing before the release. And basically, we met that night and just kind of talked over what would be a good plan to get it out there. So to distribute it to people and, you know, have a release. And Owen can speak more to what happened then.
Yeah, Owen, I'd love to hear your side of it.
This is a really interesting story. The funny thing was, we actually didn't find the copy. This is interesting for two reasons, actually. Number one, to this day, I don't know who actually owns the CD. Basically, the person who sent it to Tlotson and I, Tlotson is a Spanish-speaking audio editor. We did a lot of Google translating for those who don't know that story. He doesn't speak English, I don't speak Spanish. So it was difficult, but we made it work. But what's interesting is somebody reached out to us, and I guess he had gotten it from like a friend of a friend or something, or something crazy like that. So I don't know who had the original CD copy. But what's interesting is this guy basically reached out to us and said, hey, I have a copy. And at that point, we were basically thinking we would do another mock-up release. And then suddenly we just got this real copy of it out of what seemed like nowhere. Like, we didn't, like, track it down or anything. This guy reached out to us. I had two goals for with this original mock-up release project, which sort of goes back to what Landon was saying about trying to track down a copy. My idea was, if we could keep it talked about in the community and relevant in the community long enough for someone to notice, hey, people want this music, I have a copy, then that would basically be the end release. Or, of course, the more perfect idea would be Bungie would see, hey, people want this music, let's release it. So the sort of goal was keep it relevant, keep it talked about, and it worked.
Yeah, which is amazing. Yeah. So when you finally heard this definitive version, how close had you come with your, you know, putting together all of the pieces?
With the very final version I put out, which has since been deleted since it was on Planet Destiny's YouTube channel. So the video has since been deleted. I still have that the MP3s, though. So there were only two real mistakes that I had. Number one was part of the tribulation played during the ecstasy. And the other only real mistake was that the ecstasy had an incorrect fanfare opening. Those were the only two mistakes. Everything else was pretty much spot on. So when I heard Music of the Spheres, the real thing, it was basically exactly what I expected it to be.
Thank you.
That is incredible. So did you just go back and listen like super closely to the in-game music? Because there must have been like little bits and pieces of it just actually in the game too.
So basically, like, for example, the Garden Spire, it's been a while since I've played D1, so I don't remember some of the mission names, but I think it was called the Garden Spire. That had, like, the entirety of the rose in that mission. So, well, once you realize that, it was like, okay, well, let's find a clean rip of this music, which we did, and then we just edited it together and we made the rose, for example. And what's actually interesting is some of this music actually didn't come from the game. The vast majority of what we had for the path came out of a Bungie livestream. If I remember correctly, the story about that was actually Bungie didn't even intend to use the path for that livestream. Basically, at the last minute, the people who were organizing the livestream needed music to play for that countdown timer. They just picked a piece of music at random, said, "Oh, hey, this sounds nice," without the audio team saying, "Hey, don't you know what that is?" So, yeah. And then later, my friend Desiree tweeted at Marty saying, "Hey, Marty, can you identify this piece of music? It sounds great." And Marty said, "Oh, yeah, that's from The Path." So that was how we sort of knew what that was.
Wow. Well, when I talked with Marty earlier this year about, you know, just after the release that you guys put out there, he said it was getting to the point where the music was in a bunch of files in a library that the devs could use. And so they were already kind of breaking it up and using it in the game and with strikes and story missions and stuff. And he had to say to them, no, don't wait, because we're going to release the whole thing first. But maybe it's just as well.
Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, right. maybe it's just as well that they sort of cherry-picked from that library. And so that was a way for you to get the sort of missing links, I guess.
It all worked out in the end, so...
Yeah, it is actually, it's very interesting. If now that Music of the Spheres has been released and everyone can obtain kind of a legitimate copy of it, if you go back through and just listen to it straight through and then listen to the Destiny 1 soundtrack, you can hear very clearly that a lot of the major pieces are pulled straight from that.
Yeah, the orchestration is the same. And I mean, I really want to give Mike Salvatore a lot of credit here, along with Sky Lewin, for putting the soundtrack together and keeping the integrity of the music for a lot of those tracks.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah. And one thing that's very cool is that there was a firestorm almost, because all of a sudden there was, Bungie had demanded that you pull your stream down off the internet. And Marty was very concerned about how people were going to hear Music of the Spheres. And it turns out they're planning their own release. It's an 8 LP set, which is just fantastic. It hasn't been released yet, but it will be soon. So,
well, actually, if you pre-order the vinyl, which it's up for pre-order now, if you pre-order it, you get the digital copies right away. So it's, people can already hear it.
Oh, that's very cool. Being able to listen to the music is just such an incredible experience now. But honestly, it's just, well, not really the tip of the iceberg, but there, it's just one component of this whole vision that Marty had for Music of the Spheres. And he told me that his friend Malcolm Guite, who is a poet and a scholar in Cambridge, a C.S. Lewis fan and scholar, wrote poems after listening to these pieces. And I know one of the things that he was really hoping is that somehow the music and the poetry would end up together for people to enjoy at the same time. And that's one of the projects that you guys are working on now, right?
That is correct. So we got in touch with Malcolm around the time that Music of the Spheres had started to leak. And he's been wonderful. He's had some discourse with us, and he's truly passionate about the music and the poetry. And we kind of wanted to take his passion for it and, you know, create something.
Make sure it was accounted for, you know?
Yeah, then that everyone could experience, because we didn't want it to kind of get lost to time or, you know, just kind of slip away once the excitement dies down. So right now we're working on taking his poetry, Seven Heavens, Seven Hells, a sequence for the Spheres, and we're working on blending it with Music of the Spheres to create one coherent, you know, musical experience.
How are you planning to visualize this? I mean, what will you be doing to bring the poetry and the music together?
So we've actually got two very talented creators from the Destiny community, a male and a female, together to narrate the pieces. And then we are just creating some ambience in the background, and we're blending that in with the start and end of each of the pieces, so that it should flow together like one complete work after we're done.
And there are a couple of videos that people can see right now, right?
Yes. The first verse, it's blends with The Path. That will go live right now on our YouTube channel. You can view the link wherever you're listening or watching this, whether it be on YouTube, SoundCloud, or the Respawn page. We encourage you to check that out, and if you like that, there'll be more coming. We're going to wait until Bungie does their physical release of the product. So when they ship those discs, we will release our next piece, so to say. We just wanted to give you guys a teaser now to show what's coming.
The moon is full, and snow falls soft tonight in silver filigree. I seem to fall, floating through the chapel of her light. The moon is full. The white lace of snowfall makes a veil through which I glimpse her face, a paler white, whose pallor calls to me, a tidal pull that gathers in me, loosens, lifts the weight that palls and pulls me. In her light, I feel fasted and lifted, empty, open, light. The moon is full.
That is so exciting. I don't know a lot about Malcolm beyond the fact that he's a friend of Marty's and he's a huge fan of C.S. Lewis as well. And then, of course, the poems. But, Owen, it sounds like you got to meet him and find out a little bit more about him and maybe what those early days of Music of the Spheres were like.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've Skyped with Malcolm once or twice, and he's shared some really interesting stories, actually. And he also shared a couple things over email, and it's been really a pleasure to talk to him. You know, he's talked about how he and Marty met, what it was like to, you know, write the moon poem, which was like the beginning of the whole thing. Yeah, and he also shared a really interesting story about Paul McCartney from way before Music of the Spheres was even being worked on. So those are three stories I kind of wanted to share on behalf of Malcolm, because I know he's really... He just loves this poetry, and he would love to have stories and behind-the-scenes stuff be, you know, more public knowledge. So, for starters, he and Marty actually met at a gathering of artists and theologians on the Isle of Wight. And actually, believe it or not, Marty and Malcolm's very first conversation was about Music of the Spheres and the sort of medieval concepts. That was their very first conversation. And so... From the moment they met, it was just, I guess it was just, let's do something with this. Because obviously they were both interested in it. They were both passionate about it. So Marty hires Malcolm to write this poetry for Bungie. And this story is really interesting about when Malcolm wrote the first two poems, which were basically inspired the layout for all 14 of them. Malcolm, I don't know what exactly this accident was. I think it was like a bus accident or something. But he was in some huge accident, and he was at the hospital waiting to be operated on. Malcolm's, first of all, he's writing all of this high on morphine, because he was in, I know, pain and all that stuff. For me, like, his leg was just in a million pieces at the time, and he's like, on a really high floor of this hospital waiting to be operated on. There weren't people who were in a lot worse condition than he was, so he was, like, at the bottom of the list waiting to be operated on. But he looks at the window... And it's snowing, and there's a full moon. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
So he starts writing this poem about what was going on outside, and it becomes the Music of the Spheres poems for the moon.
Wow.
I don't know how much of the morphine influenced that, but yeah, so that was an interesting story. And then there's actually a really funny story about his first ever meeting with Paul McCartney. So I'm about 17. I'm turning 18 very soon. And Malcolm's a lot older of a guy than I am, but when Malcolm was my age, right? I think he was born in Canada, don't quote me on that. But his father sent him out to a boarding school in England, and he still lives in England to this day. So he sent to this boarding school, and it's just the most beautiful campus. Like, there's this lake, you just look out the window of the school and you see this huge lake, like these mountains, this beautiful mountain range in the background. And it was just the most beautiful campus from what I've heard. And so when they would do exercises, like, for physical education, like, they would run outside, like run laps around the school. Malcolm instead of doing that, he would go to like a cave because there were like all sorts of caves around, and he had a stash of beer and cigarettes in one of those caves. So they would start running, like all the students would start running. At some point, he would head to the cave, and then he would head back and finish with the rest of the students, and no one would notice he was gone. And so one day, he's sort of, you know, in this cave, right? And he hears voices outside. He's like, oh my god, they found me, they found me. So he starts booking it outside, and he runs into someone, like he crashes into someone. And then next thing he knows, right there is Paul McCartney.
That's incredible. Wow.
And it turns out the Beatles were actually shooting a picture at this beautiful campus for one of the things that they were working on. And none of the students actually knew about that. But so Malcolm just runs into Paul McCartney, and Paul McCartney hears about this stash that he has, and he just thought it was the funniest thing. So you fast forward all these years, right? You fast forward all these years to when Malcolm is working on poetry for a Paul McCartney music work, and he had told this story to Marty, who then told the story to Paul, and all these years later, Paul McCartney says, "Oh yeah, I remember that." So it sort of came full circle. It was a great event for him.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. And that gives a completely different side to Malcolm too. His little.
Oh, he is a character. He's been, you know, probably the most level-headed, objective person when it comes to all this, and you know, the legality of everything during the very beginning of our project was kind of in question because we started this when. Publicly, Bungie didn't have plans to release Music of the Spheres, and he was still very supportive of what we were doing. So he has been awesome to talk with and to work with.
I mean, it's fantastic now that all of this poetry that he created will be, you know, part of the project and part of, I guess, the history of Music of the Spheres. It's really fantastic. So there's beautiful artwork that accompanies each one of these too, and who's been working on that?
So that's really been my end of the project. As Imbline, I kind of do all the content creation for the Music of the Spheres team. And we have a pretty talented team of artists that are working on a booklet of sorts to go with this, to accompany it, just like Bungie has designed a booklet to go with their official Music of the Spheres release. So we've got some talented people working on some pretty cool stuff. But I've been building a lot of the video content and the audio content.
The little bit that I've seen of it is just absolutely beautiful, and it's so professional, and it's so just, you know, respectful of the hard work that Marty and that Malcolm have put into this incredible project. I love that you were able to, you know, take a lot of the original design from Destiny with the starry expanse in the background and the sort of compass lines and stuff. It's just beautiful.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, one of the things that me and Owen talked about when we were, you know, kind of wireframing it, so to speak, and figuring out what we wanted to do was we wanted to do something that was cool visually, but that didn't kind of disgrace the original work, because we very easily could have just went like, all right, here are some lens flares and let's make it super saturated and like super colorful and like just blow everything out of proportion. And we really wanted to make it feel like it was something that Bungie would have released alongside Music of the Spheres. So that means we've created a lot of our own assets. We've purchased a lot of assets. You know, it's pretty much just me working on the video portion of things, so I've had to outsource a little bit, but Owen and I have put together something that I think if you like Music of the Spheres, you should very much enjoy this.
And what I've always loved about Bungie is their love of lore and history and all these secret, like, not a secret code exactly, but certainly deep references to mythology and all of that, and I can really see that has inspired you guys too.
Oh, and if you want to talk about Alpha Loopy and, you know, kind of some of our inspirations there, that'd be awesome.
I didn't even know where to start, actually. I mean, I could talk about clock positions being actually kind of an interesting part of this. I could talk about my friend Sanecoin could go on for hours about how the Alpha Loopy Array is a celestial harp, a map of the planets, a clock that shows all the Music of the Spheres planet positions, Like, that one little graphic is so representative of everything Music of the Spheres. It's extremely impressive.
Yeah, the Alpha Loop by Array is our inspiration for a lot of our actual design with the artwork and the video assets.
I love reading the flavor texts with all of the pieces of armor and the weapons. And the sort of underlying tone, I think, is one of real tragedy in some cases, because you know, you're wearing a cloak designed for someone that didn't make it through one of the battles. And it's just, the lore is just amazing.
It's gripping. Yeah, Destiny 1 really had this sense of trauma, I would say. Like, you felt as if you were in a world that had been struck by something that was kind of unknown. And I think that's part of the magic that made, you know, everyone who fell in love with D1 fall in love with it.
it's pretty obvious that the teams at Bungie, they really do appreciate the music that's been created. And Landon, you were at a concert not too long ago out in Seattle of the music of Destiny. What was that like?
Yeah, so I went out to Seattle for the Music of Destiny event. It was held in a church about a couple miles away from the Bungie offices. And that is something that I hope Bungie repeats. It was truly, it was awe-inspiring to kind of hear that music live. They played some tracks from the Destiny 2 soundtrack, as well as Destiny 1's expansions, Rise of Iron and The Taken King. And the composers were there. You know, I got to talk with Mr. Salvatore and Sky and C. Paul and some of the audio guys at Bungie. And that was a really awesome experience. I'm hoping that they take that and can replicate it elsewhere.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, seeing game music performed live is becoming like such a huge thing now, and there have been some incredible concerts in Europe. And besides video games live here, there are other smaller ensembles that are putting together game concerts. So yeah, I would be like first in line to get tickets for a Destiny music concert for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that I can't speak to what Bungie wants, but I think it's on their radar that people want this.
I know this is a labor of love, really a passion project for both of you. Are you expecting to get any kind of, you know, monetary reward, or, you know, how can people support you with this?
Don't. We are not accepting donations. We do not want any form of reward. So I'm NDA'd, so I can't speak a lot about what I've talked to Bungie about, but they've given us approval to do this. And basically, if we were to accept any form of donations, my guess is their situation would change and they would be forced to kind of take all of this down. So we do not accept donations. If you'd want to support the project, share it. Show it to somebody who wouldn't normally see it. They don't even have to know what Music of the Spheres is. Just kind of put it out there, share it with the world. We want this to reach as many people as possible because we think that A Sequence for the Spheres and Seven Heavens, Seven Hells truly embodies, you know, the spirit of Destiny.
The Destiny, like this, the Destiny experience. This is something that I've believed in for a very long time, which is, we shouldn't be rewarded for this. This is purely a passion project. Even if we could legally accept donations, which we can't, we shouldn't even do that because we don't believe in that.
Yeah, and sharing it, I think, is like, really, honestly, as you said, Landon, like the best thing people can do.
Yeah, it's important to us that our work isn't compromised. I think we're building this as fans, and if you're building it for hire, it changes the dynamic. It really does. So we just wanted to make sure that we would build the best work we could and that nothing would compromise that.
Yeah, and I can see that integrity is there right now. And Owen and Landon, thanks so much for taking some time to talk about it and share some of these great behind-the-scenes stories. And honestly, I can't wait to see what comes next. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.